So how did the selection of these four come about for this particular show?
Basically, the idea of looking at the collection thematically too, and thinking it's nice to bring some work out that addresses a theme, broadly a theme, and so we've come up with this kind of catchphrase of street life, and and you know, each of these photographers is really making work that is created kind of organically in a street environment. They're responding to what they're finding, and so that was the idea, was to both give a sense of personal style in really four major bodies of work that are presented, but then also talk about sort of just popular culture, or present popular culture of that time, of the 60s and the 70s, not in a very in-depth way, but just in a kind of slice of life way, because it's a relatively modestly scaled exhibition.
Right.
But it's meant to be a kind of fun and fairly just, you know, vibrant sort of pathway into the into that moment in time, seen, you know, by four quite different photographers, who, like I say, had varying degrees of attachment to what they're looking at, and also detachment, which is a sort of constant, especially with Winogrand. I mean, there, you know, that's the sort of the mercenary street photographer, who's taking rather than giving. But and Winogrand has his whole approach and his philosophy, which is quite unique.
And very counter to this kind of immersive, let's spend time, let's live the life of these bikers, you know.
They're very true, And I mean, but the thing that's interesting in the case of Winogrand is that he's very, I guess in his writings he seems to be very contrarian by nature, but he's very upfront about that, about his approach, and there's no... It's not couched in any other...
It's not subterfuge,
No, it's not subterfuge, exactly. Good way of putting it. It's very direct. This is what I'm doing, and I'm out to take what I can get, essentially.
And I have a camera, and I'm looking right at you, and it's clear what I'm doing, and deal with it.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, not a lot of sense of exchange, you know, whereas with somebody like... Daniel Lyon, you know, there's this wonderful book, got a first edition of it just behind here, which is full of interviews with these people. So you get their voice coming through of why, what the biking culture means to them, how it gives them their identity, how it shapes the way they look at the world. And with Marcellus too, she made these wonderful audio recordings.
You know,
Of these working women talking about, how they felt about having to do this. You know, most of them were in coming from a low income situation, and doing this more for necessity, more than necessity, out of choice. And so it begins to become, you know, a very powerful kind of document, really. You know, when you blend those two media together. In this case, we're sort of stepping aside from with Danny Lyon, the Danny Lyon material, and the Marcellus material. These were portfolios, sort of edited, rigorously edited portfolios of 20 photographs apiece, that were made, that were sort of selected by the photographers in conjunction with the donors in this case, who wanted to do something with them, wanted to have some work in their collection, and sort of persuaded them to, both the artists, to kind of create this edit of the work, which was the sort of freeze-dried version of the Carnival Strippers project, or of the Bike Riders project, so that, you know, you can do your own voyaging in the history books and look at these bodies of work, and you'll see other work from, you know, from that, from both essays, which are, have been published and part of the world, and the, you know, prints exist in other collections, etc. So.
The fourth photographer here?
Yeah, this guy, Dennis Carlisle Darling, he is the least known of this group. He's an interesting guy. He teaches photojournalism at the University of Texas at Austin, and has done so for many years. What's fabulous about this work to me is, for a number of reasons, but is that these are the these are the most vintage prints, if you like, that are in the exhibition. The Winogrand material is made in the late 70s, but these are sort of early 70s, and they are vintage in every sense, and they have this pretty great kind of presentation. They're on this lightweight, warm-toned paper, and they have, you know, they're just very beautiful vintage prints, and they have a kind of strange story in that the person that donated them to us found them in a yard sale, you know, here in Atlanta, a sort of cache of them. And the small group of prints we have in the collection are all of this particular body of work, which was a little bit of a flash in the pan thing for him. But he was, again, a student in Chicago, and this was, you know, part of his kind of immersion in Chicago life when he was a student there. And so that's how he kind of came into this culture, and he lived it very strong and full for a year or two, and then it was, you know, never part of his life after that.
Wow.
But he's retained an interest in you know, he's always been a reportage or photojournalistic in his approach, and I particularly like how, you know, these are sort of, you get these paired images that are presented together, kind of a nice twist on things, and I mean, this is particularly great with the image of Brando behind, and, you know, the whole sort of Easy Rider hopper thing, you know,
what
which
inspired
was,
people to make that leap, really.
Yeah, really,
like that one picture probably more than anything.
Yeah, really. Yeah. So we've just got, you know, we've just got these three pairs of pictures here, and then the wonderful portrait on the opening wall, but the rest of these are from these portfolios that Marcellus and the Lion are presented in totality. Mm-hmm. The Winter Grand is a large portfolio of, I think it's almost 70 prints. This is the box that it comes in. And the thing is, Michael, that nowadays there are very few of these that exist because, as you can see, it's basically a box of prints.
Right.
And the dealers have just gone to town on it, you know, disassembling it and selling them individually, because they can maximize their revenue that way. And so it's very difficult, you very rarely find the kind of complete set intact, because it's just been disassembled and dispersed by the dealers. So we managed to secure this from a California collector a few years ago. My predecessor, Tom Southall, negotiated it, and it was a really great thing for us, because what happens is that every year we get another portion of works from the overall portfolio, which is presented, you know, as a tax benefit for the donor. And so every year we get, you know, an additional six prints. I think by this point we have at least a third of the portfolio is ours, and the rest is promised. So that, you know, 4 or 5 years from now we'll have the entire group of material. And then that, what that means for us, yes, it's just one body of his work, but it is, you know, one of a kind vintage set, and it gives us, you know, important depth in, you know, monographic depth in Winter Grand. It's that's meaningful to us, because we can only really say that for, you know, two handfuls of individuals in our current collection. So, it, you know, that's what we're trying to do in putting a show together like this, is to build critical mass in certain artists. And, you know, I mentioned with Danny Lyon, you know, we're really moving up pretty well there, because we've already made acquisitions of the civil rights material. The Bike Riders is part of our permanent collection. We have the civil rights portfolio, same sort of size prints made on 11x14 paper. So we've already got, you know, 60, 70 plus Danny Lyon work. So it really starts to mean something.
Right.
So that's part of our kind of ongoing goal, to grow the collection, which is still relatively modest compared to most major art museums that are working with photography. So.